Thank you. That's great. Once upon a time, there was a couple who had a pretty good marriage, Harry and Ethel Smith. And Harry Smith did something really stupid. And Ethel Smith chewed him out for it. He apologized and they made up. However, from time to time, Ethel would mention, in passing, once in a while, what he had done. And finally, Harry said one day, "Honey, why do you keep bringing that up? I thought your policy was forgive and forget." "It is," Ethel said. "I just don't want you to forget that I've forgiven and forgotten." I don't know if that really counts. Today we come to the end of our five-part Lenten series on David Rico's book, The Five Things We Cannot Change. Thankfully, we've been having in Lent also, we've been having the Green Team reminding us of the things that we can change. And there are always lots of things we can change. But today we're going to be exploring the fifth given in life that we need to accept as people who are wanting to mature spiritually. The first week we looked at everything changes and ends. Second week we looked at things do not always go according to plan. The third week we looked at life isn't fair. And last week we looked at the fourth given, pain is a part of life. And today we look at our very last given. People are not loyal and loving all the time. How true that is. There are times in our lives when we have experienced people in our lives who have deserted us or abandoned us or given up on us. People who have betrayed us and been less than loving and loyal to us. Parents who have neglected or abused us. Life partners who broke promises. Children who don't always call. Employers who overlooked us, friends who were cruel or unkind, relatives, leaders who don't measure up to our expectations. Each of us have experienced people, other humans who have failed us to live up to our expectations, people who have not been loyal or loving to us as we thought they should. In our scripture this morning, Jesus experiences all of the frustration and pain of failed expectations, of being deserted, abandoned, and betrayed by those closest to him, his students whom he now considered friends and considered as close as family. In our scripture today, we catch a glimpse into two powerful scenes in Jesus' life. We'll be able to see next week in the Passion Play, we'll be able to see all of those scenes leading up. But today we explore two of them. His time in the garden leading to his arrest. Now I understand the Garden of Gethsemane is about 1,200 square meters. And it's full of olive trees. And some of them are 2,300 years old. So some of them, if they weren't there in the time of Jesus being there and praying, and his followers gathering there and sleeping amongst the trees, they said that the shoots of those olive trees, the ancestors of those olive trees are there. And it's at the bottom of the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, across from the Kidron Valley. The name Gethsemane literally means oil press. Because, of course, olives are pressed to make olive oil. And it's here that Jesus, like the olives, is feeling squeezed, pressured. His life is being pressured out of him. And Jesus realizes that the political environment in Jerusalem is such that it has become more and more threatened, and that there is a plot afoot to destroy him, just as they destroyed John the Baptist, another prophet before him. So Jesus and the disciples retreat to the garden to find rest for their journey because they have come to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. It is there where Jesus turns to God to get grounded, to pray for strength. And he asks the disciples closest to him, Peter, James, and John, to spiritually support him by remaining aware and awake while he prays, to give him the strength he needs, the support, and to stand guard for intruders. But we are reminded in this story that the disciples fail to live up to Jesus' expectations of them, and they keep falling asleep, leaving him alone to face his fears by himself. Three times, we are told, he emerges from a state of desperate prayer to find his disciples, his friends asleep and not standing watch to protect him. He feels their desertion and their abandonment, and he speaks out in frustration and disappointment. Could you not stay awake just 1 hour with me? In other words, do you not love me or care enough about me even to be attentive to my pain and seek to protect me from those who wish to do me harm just for an hour? David Rico, in his book, talks about the fifth given, that people are not loving and loyal to us all the time, and Jesus discovers that. He reminds us that we need to come to terms with our expectations of other humans and how our egos need to wrestle with and give up our ego need. David Rico says, we need to look in the mirror to face this truth about ourselves, which he refers to as the acronym FACE, which stands for fear, attachment, control, and entitlement. David Rico says, first of all, we need to face our fear. When people abandon us or desert us or do not live up to our expectations, we fear that we will not survive if I am not loved in the way I think people should love me. And this becomes a source of suffering for myself. Attachment. He says, I am attached to a very specific version of what I am owed, I'm attached to how I think people should behave toward me. I'm attached to that version. Control. I need to control how other people think about me or act toward me or feel about me. And this becomes a source of suffering to myself. And entitlement. I believe I'm entitled to love and loyalty from everyone all the time. And when that fails, this becomes a source of suffering to myself. It is when we look in the mirror to face ourselves and our own disappointments and our own feelings of abandonment and desertion and betrayal that we realize that it is our expectations of others that is causing hurt to us. And so while we need to feel that hurt, because, as he says, we are human and not impenetrable, while we can feel that hurt, we need to let go of the fear and the attachment and the control and the entitlement of how I think others should behave and recognize that people are not loving and loyal all the time. And I can choose not to retaliate, but rather choose instead to be loyal and loving in the face of that. We can't control or change how other people react or behave, but we can have self-control as to how we choose to respond to that. Just because people are not always loving and loyal to me doesn't mean I can't choose to rise above those expectations and love in a higher way. And that's exactly what Jesus does in our story today. Jesus comes to terms in the garden with their betrayal, and he surrenders to the situation. He looks up after his night in prayer to see Judas arriving with the temple police, and Judas comes and greets him with a kiss on either cheek. It's a formal way of greeting one's friends. so that he can identify to the temple police which man in the garden is Jesus. So Jesus is betrayed by a kiss, and yet Jesus continues to call Judas friend. He says, friend, do what it is you need to do. He doesn't try to control. He doesn't try to become attached to the behavior. He doesn't feel entitled to Judas's love and loyalty. He allows it to be. Jesus doesn't run away or try to avoid the arrest. He tells the disciple to put away his sword and not to retaliate with violence, and lets the arrest unfold as it unfolds. And then he watches as all of his friends run away and leave him alone to face the music by himself. Now, prior to this, Peter said, I don't want to be a coward. I'm not going to desert you. And Jesus said, yeah, you will. You all will. Not because Jesus is a psychic, but because Jesus has come to terms with our humanity. People are not loving and loyal all the time. We would like it to be so, but people aren't. And we're not. We're not loving and loyal all the time. We have let people down. We have not lived up to expectations that others have for us. That's what it means to be human, to not be perfect. So Jesus reminds them that you're human. All of us have failed to love as we promised to love at different times. We are people too, and none of us love perfectly. We may do our very best, but we too at times fail to love our children, our partners, our friends, or this world, as well as we hoped we could. But in spite of his friends failing him, Jesus moves from face to what I'm calling, this isn't David Rico, this is me now. Because I thought, what do we do? How do we just have to love one another? Well, how do we do that? So I thought, this is how I'm going to remember to do it. It's a BLT with grace. Ever had a BLT? What does a BLT stand for? Bacon, lettuce, tomato. And you say a little grace over it, right, before you eat it? Okay, so when friends hurt us or betray us or disappoint us, we need to offer a BLT with grace. And that stands for being brave, loving, trusting with grace. I'm going to play that out. In the face of devastating disloyalty and betrayal and desertion and abandonment, Jesus offers them a BLT with grace. Jesus finds a bravery, a courage, an inner strength to endure. That's what he finds in the garden. He thought, I'm going to be able to withstand this. I'm going to get strong enough inside myself that I'm going to be able to go through what I have to go through. He connects with his sacred source. He connects with God to get strong inside. So when things in our life fall apart, the first thing we need to do is get connected with God like Jesus did and get strong inside of ourselves, to get brave, courageous. Then the next thing he does, he chooses not to retaliate violence with violence or run away, but behaves lovingly to those who would do him harm. Friend, do what you need to do. He acts loving. He gives loving kindness. He offers loving kindness to those who had hurt him. And he says to the people who are arresting him, hey, I was teaching all the time in the temple and you didn't come and arrest me. You were sitting there listening and learning and growing. We were friends. You were students. He was reminding them who they used to be, their best selves, their most noble selves. He loves them, helps them, reminds them of their best that they could be. And then the third thing he does Jesus places his trust in God. That while things will unfold as they will unfold, that God will be with him. He prays and surrenders to what will be, and he says, "Not my will, but yours be done." In other words, Jesus is saying, "I don't know what's going to happen. This does not look good. But I'm going to trust. I'm going to trust you, God, that you're going to make this okay. You're going to turn something horrible and devastating and terrifying into something hopeful and good and true." And God does on Easter morning. And on the cross, Jesus offers everyone a wide and gracious grace, forgiving them for the ways they failed him. From the cross, Jesus calls out, "Forgive them, they know not what they do." And that grace and forgiveness enfolds not only his enemies who harmed him, but his friends who abandoned him. When each of us realizes that the people in our lives will not always behave as we think that they should, that they will not be loving and loyal at all times, it is important that we, as people who are seeking spiritual maturity, come to a place of accepting the way things are rather than the way we think they should be. As my dear Buddhist priest friend, Dr. Leslie Kawamura, taught me, he said, "Jennifer," he said, "this is how we Buddhists approach suffering." He said, "Have you ever noticed, Jennifer, that we only suffer when we refuse to accept what is?" And I thought about his words, and I thought, that's so true. When we refuse to accept what is in our lives, when we fight it, when we resist it, that's when we experience suffering, rather than just opening our hands and accepting what is. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus stops fighting what is and finds the spiritual strength to surrender to what is. Jesus teaches us this morning to learn to accept what is, that we might live into the moment we are presently standing in with bravery, trust, and love, with an added grace, a BLT. I know that there are people in your lives who have hurt you, because people are not loving and loyal all the time. But that doesn't mean that you and I don't have the choice to offer them a BLT with grace. I know there are people who have hurt me, betrayed me, abandoned me, and I worked really, really hard to love them in return. And I know that I have hurt and betrayed others and have hoped that they could offer me that same love and grace. I'd like to share with you one of my favorite stories. It's a story that has helped me in those times when I have felt the sting of betrayal, when people have been not loving or loyal all the time. It's a story of a wise old man, an enlightened man, sitting on the shores of a river underneath a banyan tree. And while he's sitting there in prayer and meditation, he notices that there is a scorpion that is underneath the gnarled roots of the banyan tree. And so he reaches in to try to rescue the scorpion and free it from its entrapment, and it lashes out and stings him. But he doesn't give up. He tries again, it stings him. He tries again, it stings him. And finally, there is a young man across the river who calls after the old man and says, "You stupid old fool, don't you realize that every time you reach out to try to rescue that scorpion, that it's going to sting you?" And the wise, enlightened man turns to the young man and says, "Just because it is the scorpion's nature to sting, why should I change my nature, which is to save?" It is the nature of God, the nature of the divine, the nature of the holy, to keep reaching out to save us in love, even when we disappoint or fail or fall asleep or refuse to be awake to truths we need to see, or betray those closest to us with a kiss, or when we fail to be loving or loyal all the time. And just because Jesus' followers failed to love him, it didn't stop Jesus from choosing to continue to love them and offer them grace upon grace upon grace, for that is the nature of the holy. As spiritual beings, choosing to follow after the ways of Jesus, may we step into that kind of living and offer the world a BLT with grace, and be brave, and be loving, and be trusting, and be gracious, for that is the nature of the holy. May it be our nature also. May it be so. Amen.